Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Hey, everybody. It's Tuesday. Happy Tuesday. It's great to have you here on the show. You make this show possible. If you weren't here, we wouldn't be able to be here for you. So we all help each other. Make sure you mark us as a favorite and follow us so you get the worry-free updates. Added lots of shows and additions to Tuesdays and Thursdays. In fact, this week I have shows every day because there's just so many awesome people to bring you to help you be your best. And today we have a great guest that is going to inspire you to step out into your one-of-a-kind sparkle shine. And one of my favorite quotes is by Oscar Wilde, "Be yourself. Everybody else is already taken." And I love that because, you know, when you compare, you despair. And that is such a bad thing to do. You want to be I don't know who said this quote, but life isn't about finding yourself, it's about creating yourself. You want to be who you are. There's nobody else like you in the world for a reason. You're listening here, it's not by accident. And our guest today is going to really take you on a journey of her own personal experience and give you some tips and tools to step into your best personal experience. And it is a privilege and a pleasure to tell you a little bit about Hannah Kay. So let me just start out by saying Hannah Kay never imagined when she was a stay-at-home mom, maybe like some of you, and part-time floral designer, that she would be agency principal for Speechless, major national corporation. It's a copyright and voiceover business serving the creative needs of clients worldwide, including the international bestseller Chicken Soup for the Soul. We've all heard of them. But that's exactly what happened for Hannah. Hannah not only excels in business, but she's a grandma who's passionate about the business of living. She's an advocate for creating a healthier and greener environment for her grandchildren, creating an award-winning top mom blog, the Green Grandma Blog. Isn't that fun? Focusing on common sense approach to greener and healthier living. Hannah inspires others to follow her path to live their dreams in business and at home. And you can visit Hannah. She has some great websites. Her blog spot that's the award winner, the greengrandma.blogspot.com. And you can hear all the many voices and talents of her business at www.speechless.sitesvp.com. And it's a pleasure today to welcome our expert guest, Hannah. Hi, Hannah. How you doing today?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Awesome, and really excited to have you here. I know you're going to help inspire a lot of people step into their greatness today. Maybe we could just start out by saying, you know, what is it that you hope people listening today, either live or on the recording, what they're going to come away with at the end of the show?
Well, basically, to not give up on your dreams. We all have the capacity to make something really incredible happen in our lives. But it takes some perseverance, and it takes some tenacity, and it takes a dream and a passion for the dream. And you have to turn off all the naysayers out there that are constantly telling you you can't do it. Yesterday, I saw something on Facebook. It was a video of a young woman in China playing piano beautifully. With one, her left hand had all five fingers. Her right hand had no fingers. And
wow.
My first thought was, as I watched it, was nobody ever told her the words, "I can't." And I was really inspired by that. And I think that that's our self-talk can be the most damaging, of course, because we're constantly saying, I can't do this. And pretty much you can do it.
I love that message, and that's why it's so great to have you today, because I think, you know, everybody has that little voice in their head. I don't care how famous, how rich, how beautiful, you know, everybody has that little voice, that little tiny voice, that the voice of doubt. And I think that people that, like yourself, who have really succeeded in becoming all that they were created to be and helping others do the same, they know how to turn the volume on that voice down. That's a great, I'm on Facebook a lot, but I did not see, you'll have to send that to me on my page, because I did not see that, and I cannot imagine being a piano, just great pianist and having one hand with no, I mean, I just can't even imagine that, Hannah. That just blows my mind away. But that is such a great example for your topic. And the can't, you know, get rid of the T, please. I think that that is just something that all of the great people had in common. You know, Walt Disney was fired, and that didn't stop him, you know. Lucille Ball was told she doesn't have any personality, she'll never make it in movies, and that didn't stop her. And you know, there's just so many great people out there, and the people that are great just didn't happen to fall at the top of the mountain. They had to overcome obstacles. Can you share some of the things that you overcame to have the courage to create a business? First of all, that you had the awareness that you had this talent. I don't even know how you could have discovered that, although you do sound great. I mean, and I love all the voices that you can create, and you've done, you know, Forbes magazine, you've done some great things. But, you know, how did you know you had this great talent for writing, for voiceover, to be, you know, a president of your own company? You know, give us, share with us the journey.
Well, first of all, I started writing when I was a small child, and my father really encouraged that in me. He believed that I would succeed in my writing. I also had the acting bug, and so when I went off to college, I majored in theater and in creative writing. And then I stopped everything to be a stay-at-home mom and put my career on hold, so I hadn't done anything much. It was in the years when we didn't really have internet easily accessible in the home, so I wasn't torn with career and children. I basically just focused on my children. When my kids were 5 and 7, my husband was killed tragically in a fire, and I was left alone to take care of 2 children. I did not have any family in Pittsburgh. I was basically pretty much alone except for my friends that were an incredible support. But I chose to stay home and continue to raise them. I got a part-time job when they were in school as a floral designer. And we had Social Security and workers' comp because he was killed at his place of employment. And I eventually remarried. When my children started to, when they were approaching graduation and I knew I was going to be losing the income, I had to find a way of making something, and I went into mystery shopping and auditing, which got me started in writing again, because as you're mystery shopping, you have to write reports, you have to be observant, and it started honing those skills. 5 years into that, as some of the positions, they weren't paying any more than they had when I started, and I just wasn't making enough. One night in January of 2005, I decided to launch Speechless. And I did that by signing up on a site called Elance. And Elance has been a wonderful tool for me. It's elance.com, and it's a place for freelancers to search for all sorts of different jobs, from writing to voiceover to web design to administrative assistant, all sorts of things. And I went on there, I signed up, I paid the fees, and I started bidding on jobs. The next day, I had landed 4 of those jobs, one of which was a voiceover job, which I don't even understand how I got, because I had no samples. Not only did I not have any samples, I didn't even own a microphone, hadn't done any voiceover work since I was in college and did radio. So that put me in a little bit of a panic. I had to run out and buy a microphone and learn how to do voiceovers from home. And it went from there. I getting good feedback and kept getting more and more work. And three of the jobs were writing jobs. And as that has grown with word of mouth, I've met some wonderful people. Lakeisha Wright from Texas came up alongside me and taught me about search engine optimized writing, and she would hire me to do it, teach me how to do it. Now I can do that, offer that as part of my services. I basically had some really good people that I connected with early on, but I am completely self-taught on how to run the business and how to do the voiceovers. There are so many things I need to learn still, but it's not like you can go to your local community college and take a class on editing
starting
voice software. It's just not out there. So it's been a little bit of a struggle just learning and not having the mentoring close by. You know, the internet opens up the world to you, of course, but to have somebody that can come up beside you right here in Pittsburgh is challenging.
I was just wanting to pause because I think it was really powerful what you know, first of all, it is, I did not know that about your husband, and that type of tragedy is heartbreaking for me to listen to, and I'm sure the people that are listening right now. But I think what you are inspiring in us is, you know, you had adversity. You had a terrible struggle, a horrible obstacle, which, you know, to many of us would have just paralyzed us. But, and I'm sure that there was a process here that you went through, but the fact that you still move forward, that you found the integrity and the love and the dedication, taking care of your children, and then you did remarry and starting your business. And really, I think you're inspiring us to take one day at a time, to start where we're standing, and we don't have to have it perfectly laid out to begin, because it appears in listening to you, the things unfolded, but what you did is, and what you're trying to tell us, is to begin now, wherever we are, with that dream that's in our heart, and that as the example you had with the person in your life, people will come into our life, things will start to unfold. Is that one of the messages that you would want people to take away?
Oh, absolutely. And the other thing is that it doesn't always have to be right now. For me, I always knew I was going to be a writer someday, but I wanted to focus on my children. And I always just said, yeah, I'm a stay-at-home mom now. My career can wait until they're grown, and that's what my choice was. And I'm glad I chose that way. I now have grandchildren and who have stay-at-home moms, but the first year that my daughter, my youngest daughter had her baby in 2008, and she had to go back to work because of benefits, and I was privileged enough to be able to watch her daughter as she went to work. So I was trying to run a business, do the blog, which started after my granddaughter came along, and watch this precious child. So it was that was challenging as well. So it meant a lot of late nights. It meant sacrifice on my husband's part because I wasn't available to him much because, like I said, as I had the child, the baby during the day for that first year, and then come evening, I had to sit down at my computer and start recording or writing and keeping my business going. So sometimes you have to sacrifice a lot as well.
And, you know, sometimes when we, you know, one of the things that I really want to pause on, you're talking about sacrifice, but I'm also hearing in your voice a lot of love. And when you're sacrificing for something that you believe in, that you're passionate about, that you know is your calling and is the dream in your heart, it doesn't seem to be painful sacrifice. Am I picking that up correctly?
For the most part. But I will, there's a new passion I have right now that developed actually 24 weeks ago. I realized that since 2000, for the most part, I have been working 7 days a week. Not 8-hour days, 7 days a week, but working 7 days a week, never away from my computer, never away from my email, What if a client contacts me and I don't get right back to them? You know, I always had that, I have to be on. And 24 weeks ago, I decided to start something, and I started it on my blog. It's called the Sabbath Experiment. And what it means is that one day a week, either a Saturday or a Sunday, I take off, and I do not turn on my I do not check my email. I may go on the computer for something, but not for work-related things, and I do not go on my email because inevitably there will be something from a client, and I'll think that I have to respond to it. And that has changed. That has changed my life, actually. I look back to when the blue laws were abolished, and you look at the stress-related illnesses, how they've skyrocketed since then, because we don't know how to relax as a society. I don't know if it's that we think we're that important or what it is, but I've started taking, it's usually Sundays because we do go to church in the morning and my family gets together for lunch afterwards. But then I would always run home. And if my husband wanted to do something, I'd say, I can't, I have to work. If we wanted to visit with somebody, I can't, I have to work. Now we have Sundays free to invite people over for dinner or to go visit with somebody or to just sit around and play games for the day. And it is absolutely wonderful, and it's something I encourage for everyone. And for one thing, it will help avoid burnout to have that one day of refreshment a week. Sometimes it's a Saturday if we decide to go antiquing or something, and we leave in the morning and we spend the whole day together, go out to dinner at night. Then I will work on a Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening. But it's one day a week that I say I'm important enough to myself and to my family to stop.
Yes, and you know, I really think that this is an important key to your success, and it's a lesson for all of us that we can take away today. And the biology major in me, I still love to read, you know, statistical studies and all of these psychological things that talk about effectiveness and so forth. And I was just reading something recently to your point about taking the time to relax, to connect with people, to have fun, to laugh, and to know that you have that sacred time set aside so that it's not a matter of what it will be, but just knowing that you're there in it to enjoy that time with loved ones. And it's amazing how sometimes the very thing you think you don't have time for is the very thing that's going to give you the time. And these studies that I was reading, it just talked about effectiveness, self-esteem, even boosting immune systems. It's amazing how when we take that time to do what you just described, how it helps us be more effective in every single area of our life. And, you know, I think probably people listening are like me. We get caught up in that social media rat race or the business of living, and we forget that, you know what, we're going to die someday. And what we're going to take is not the paper, the jobs, the bills and all that. We're going to take the love, the connections. And I think sometimes we forget that we were not put on earth to be on the computer. I mean, I love this radio show, but, you know, we're not supposed to be busy. Our value comes in the connections that we have with the people that we love. And who knows that better than you with the loss of your husband? And, you know, is this something that somebody listening right now that needs that key that you have to unlock the door, to shut it? You know, what else can you tell them about the value of setting healthy boundaries to rest and quiet your mind and be in the present moment?
That's a tough one for me to give advice on, because other than my Sabbath experiment, I have a hard time prioritizing sleep, perhaps. And I did end up with type 2 diabetes a few years ago, and now I've learned that can be linked to the lack of sleep, and I think, well, getting 4 hours of sleep a night was really detrimental to me as well.
So you could tell people getting ready to start a business, to follow their dreams. One of the things that you are able to tell us is, you know, dream it and live it and enjoy it, but set boundaries on things, you know, the personal life with the professional life.
And that, and I had a pendulum swing. I when I first started this in 2005, I was just 12 hours a day, easily 15 hours some days, 7 days a week. And my relationship suffered greatly as a result. And there, this is something I want to say to you moms out there and dads. After my daughter moved out of the house, and I'll probably get emotional here, my youngest daughter moved out, and she left some things behind, and there was a notebook she left behind. And in the notebook, she had written about me. And she said, yeah, Mom says she's here for me all the time and that I should come to her to talk, but I'm so tired of talking to her back. She would come into my office and sit on the floor behind me. And I would stay facing the computer while I talked to her. And that is one of my biggest regrets. So you moms and dads out there, don't do it. When your family members want to talk to you, look them in the eye, touch them, turn around. That's what office chairs are supposed to do. They're supposed to spin. Spin around. Put your back to the computer. And that would probably be, if anybody wants to take any advice from me, that would be my most heartfelt advice I can give you.
And that is such a jewel for all of us, because I think that one of the things that, you know, one of the things I love about the show and guests like yourself, you know, we can't live long enough to learn everything, to do everything. And it's like a vehicle. You know, you want to get somewhere, you can take a airplane, or you can take a car, or you can walk, or you can take the train. But when you get in the vehicle that somebody else has to bring you on the journey that they've already traveled, you can see the scenery with them. It's, you know, you're a tour guide helping us. And today, people tuning in that want to start their own business, that can learn from you, that you really discovered your talents, and then you created a business around that to be of service, and you get paid. And you should be getting paid for your wonderful talents and skills, but you didn't go against the stream. You weren't a salmon going upstream. You went with the flow of the river. But I think in that process, you're also telling us ahead of time, you know, hey, listen to what I'm sharing about the warning signs. And that's a real gift, and it takes a lot of courage for you to come on today and a lot of humility to share these things with us. And I know that we're all listening, lots of people in the chat room and listening on live that really appreciate that. Maybe we can just segue a little bit to something else that you do, because I think one of your gifts is the business that you created, and you're going to tell us a little bit about your writing, because you've been so successful with that. But you also have your Grandma Green blog, and I think that that's important for people to know that it, you know, you don't always have to be about the business for making the money, but you can also do the spiritual economy to keep your spirit going. And you've won awards for your Green Grandma blog. Tell us about that and what started, because it's a wonderful blog. I encourage everybody to visit it. I love it. It's fabulous. It's fun. It's a happy place. It's like a little vacation. It's great.
Thank you. It's not always happy, because I do focus on things like banning triclosan and the things that are hurting us. And sometimes it's like, okay, you need to take a break from telling everybody what's bad in products and go back to happy for a little while. I have to temper it, because there are so many dangers out there for children, particularly. But it started when I started watching my granddaughter. We were cloth diapering. And that started because I had been hired about a year before that to do a newsletter for a pregnancy and infant newsletter for a client. And during my research, I discovered how bad disposable diapers were for children, the health benefits or the health risks, the carcinogens in them, et cetera. So I wrote about how they were bad for children. They were bad for the environment. And of course, economically, it's expensive to put a child in disposable diapers for 2+ years. So I had already been sold on cloth diapers before my daughter got pregnant. And she just went, you know, she took my advice and went along with cloth diapering. Of course, I cloth diapered back in the 80s as well, but that was an economic thing. I had no other reasons for doing it except it was cheaper. So my daughter Jessica decided to cloth diaper Lara, and everybody in the family was basically behind her on that, my other daughter and her husband. And so we all were cloth diapering Lara. And I was outside hanging diapers on the line and just thinking, I really want to share this with someone. And my cousin was telling me about somebody on Oprah she saw that was talking about blogging, and they were making this a ridiculous amount of money blogging. And she said, you really ought to start a blog. You could call it Green Grandma. So that's how that started. And it started with my passion for cloth diapering and other natural children type things, but it has expanded to that. And I explain it by saying green is because I care about the environment, and I'm going to try to educate the readers on environmental issues and on chemicals and things like that we should try to avoid. And the grandma part covers all the rest. It's about being a grandma. It's about loving families, being in a loving relationship with my husband, trying to encourage good marriages, trying to encourage single moms out there that are struggling. I did one on advising my readers to do something special for a single mom over Christmas, like go and offer to watch their children for a day so they can go shopping, Christmas shopping. It covers such a broad range. Sometimes people will come to me and say, well, this doesn't have anything to do with the environment. And I'll say, well, no, that's the grandma part. As you can see, I have a passion for my kids and for my grandchildren, for my husband. And if I can help other families in any way, my husband and I sometimes will do some lay counseling of marriages in trouble, especially in blended families, because we're a blended family and we know what it's like to struggle through that. So we try to help other people. So it's basically a blog focused on helping other people live better lives, possibly, the way I see it. Of course, there's going to be people that are going to disagree with me. And generally, if you follow the blog, there's something I'm going to write that you're going to disagree about. You might not like cloth diapering, or you might think that chemicals aren't as bad as they should be, or there's something that you might not agree with. But the nice thing about this community is we're just very supportive. The Green Grandma community is a wonderfully supportive community, which I've discovered through my Facebook page, because we can interact on there more than we do than on the blog. And there's a lot of times people that are following don't do the things that I think are better to do, but that's okay. That's one of the things that makes the community so special. Where in a community do you find people that all agree all the time?
Believe me, I don't even get along with myself on some days. You know, I have to get along with me most days. It's difficult. So I don't think you can expect every single relationship you have in your life to be absolutely perfect. But, you know, you bring up a couple of great points. And if somebody's trying to be successful, and really success is happiness. I mean, most people that I speak with want to be happy. Who doesn't want to be happy, right, Hannah? Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody listening, Jay, Miss Pretty, all my guests in there, we all want to be happy. And being happy is something that comes from the inside out. But really, the things that you share with us, that you cause us to reflect on are, one, you accepted life on life's terms, and you had some tragedies. But two, you didn't let it stop you, and you persevered where you were. The third thing that I love about your story is you really didn't go look to find something else to create the life that you wanted. You reflected on the gifts that you already had, whether it be your voiceover, you reflected on your passions, the Green Grandma blog, and you didn't necessarily try to make it anything else other than who you already were. And I love how you shared, a friend said, well, why don't you start a blog? I was watching the show on Oprah, and you just did it. And, you know, one of the things that you do so well is you don't get attached to the results. And I think it's a lesson for all of us listening today to be successful and happy and squeezing the juice out of living. You just do what you know in your heart you have a passion to do and let the results come where they may. And here you are winning top blog awards for that site that you created. You know, what would you say to someone that may be thinking, well, that's Hannah, you know, Hannah's got something special, or she can do it, but I couldn't do it. You know, what's your answer to that?
Well, there's a couple things. One, I have a little Mary Engelbreit picture that's in my office that shows somebody cleaning, I think, and it says on there, don't do what you like what you do.
Ooh.
And I think that's really...
Say that
so
again.
So many people
I love
out there
that.
Are just doing what they like, and they're getting nowhere. You can't just be about doing what you like. I mean, what wouldn't... I'd like to sit around and read all day. It wouldn't get me very far. But, you know, that's what I'd like to do, or I'd like to just take off the day and go spend time with my grandchildren. I have a 7-month-old grandson as well now, and, you know, that's what I'd like to do. And occasionally I do that, but you have to, if your goal is to make a living, to make some money, you can't just do what you like, but you have to like what you do. And I teach at writing conferences, and I was just at one this past week, and one of the things, I was doing a course on freelance writing. And one of the things I said to them is, as you're taking, there's so many different jobs you can take as a freelance writer. Learn what you like to do as you're taking these jobs. And when you find something that you really hate, don't keep doing that particular job. Move on to something else in freelancing. You're going to burn out. You're going to give up. You're going to say, I tried this. It doesn't work for me. So while there are times I'm doing something that I absolutely hate in my job, who doesn't? I mean, most people have something about their job they don't like. I might take on a project to try it, see if I'm going to like doing product descriptions, for instance. And I do them and say, oh, I'm not enjoying this. This is the last time I'm going to do this. You finish the project, you do it on deadline, you get paid for it, and then you move on. It's always a question of testing the waters for yourself, but we all have gifts somewhere. There's something that you like to do. Some people say, well, I've never done anything but da-da-da-da-da, but they don't like that. So they need to search. And one way to search for your passions is think about the books you like to read. What kind of books do you like to read? What do the people in those books bring out in you? Maybe there's a character somewhere that you can identify with and say, I'd like to be that person. Well, what is that person doing?
Isn't that great? That is a really great, that's a good thermometer test. I like that.
Thank you.
I like that.
Actually, I just came up with that as I was talking.
Hey, a little divine inspiration never hurt the show, Hannah. We love that. Applause,
please. Maybe there's someone out there reading a book that they just, I mean, of course, we're not talking romantic heroines. I mean, you're not going to think, oh, I love when the heroine gets rescued by the, you know, no, don't sit around waiting for a man to rescue you. That's not what I meant by finding the character that you...
No, but I mean, I deal with a lot in the people that I work with and speak with. You know, it's like, well, how do I know what I'm supposed to do? And I think that that's a really good, simple, easy way to find out is, you know, what do you like to read? What are the characters? What are the things, the emotions, the people? I mean, there's a lot of... But I think, again, it gets back to you are taking the time... Like Aristotle said, the unexamined life is not worth living. And you're taking the time to know who you are and to really discover yourself. And, you know, another point that you brought up that you said at the beginning that I think segues with this, you have to get rid of those negative people. You have to get rid of the stuff that's you have to love yourself enough to get rid of those people that are the dream killers and know that that's not something against them. It's just that's not going to help you grow. You know, you don't put arsenic in your plants and expect them to look beautiful. And you have to treat yourself with the same type of respect if you want a result. And I think it's all part of the process that fits together. But, you know, tell us some other things that helped you discover, you know, really what your greatness was to be your best.
I drew a lot on what I had learned in college, even though it was years before. I learned with the voiceover, it's interesting. I had a professor in college that my freshman year when I was doing I was performing in The Night Throes Spent in Jail, and she taped me one day, and she gave me the tape, and she said, "You have to listen to yourself. You have this vocal pattern. You end everything on an up swing." And she said, "You need to change that." And I still remember that because that helped me to develop as a voice artist. I wouldn't be where I am now if it wouldn't have been for that advice freshman year. And it's funny, it's because I'm from Lancaster County, and in Lancaster County, people tend to talk like this. Everything they say goes like that.
It's like in Boston, park the car.
Yeah, well, this is, everything ends in a question. You know, it's like, and I had to break that habit because that's how everybody talked practically where I was growing up. But you glean from the great people that have been in your life throughout your years. And there was a freshman year again in college. I had a writing instructor who was constantly quoting from my writing, and he said to the class one day, "She's going to be the next D.H. Lawrence." Well, I'm not, but that's there. That's in the back of my mind all the time, that aspiring to greatness, because I had people that believed that I could get there. And that really helped. Now, some people out there may think nobody ever believed in me. And
yeah.
We need to believe in ourselves as well. We need to know that there's no one better than us. There may be people that are using their talents and are more recognized, but those celebrities that we tend to cling to the gossip about, they're no different than us, and we can aspire to the same greatness. We may not be known for that greatness, but is it more important to be known by millions for anything, you know, nothing in particular, but, you know, just to be known, or to be known by a few for the greatness that you have? It might just be being a mom. You might be the best mom there is, and not do anything else with your life, and that's okay.
I'm glad you said that, because I have a guest on Friday, Dr. Meg Meeker, and she has a best-selling book about the 10 great qualities of moms, and it just echoes what you just said. I mean, I think the greatest thing, I'm not a mom. I mean, I'm mom to two schnauzers, which doesn't quite fit, but, you know, as you heard in the background, I can't even control them. But, you know, I think that is the greatest gift, and it's the irony of life that we always want what somebody has, or we don't think that our talents are great, that everybody has them. And that's why I love, you know, this time together with you, because it's forcing us to think. People listening are like, "Yeah, you know, I can relate to that," or, you know, "That I remember somebody telling me in college," and then, you know, I just had somebody else the other day tell me, "Wow, what a great listener you are, a great writer," or, "You have a real talent for whatever it is." And these are our gifts to bring us into that awareness, and you're causing us to pause and reflect and seeing through your story, our story. And that's where I really believe we help each other, which is such a huge gift. And, you know, we're coming down to the last few minutes in the show. I want to make sure that, you know, we get your websites, how to connect with you. I know you have some writing things going on in Pittsburgh for those that might that might be in that area. Some other things that you're doing, ways to connect with you on Facebook. So I want to make sure. And the other thing that I just want to comment on, because I think we're all doing this here today on because we are the best people we know, is connections. You talked about somebody helping you connect to something else that you did. For example, you and I met through Elizabeth Hamilton from Best Ever You magazine and radio. And, you know, it's not really an accident that you get to meet someone and someone recommends oh, you should know that person, or this person would be great for you to connect with. You know, what could you say to people with connecting to their success and happiness and embracing their dreams?
One thing people are afraid to do is work for very little. They think they're worth more than that. I'll tell you that one of the things that started me was a $25 voiceover or a voicemail job I did. That woman, Stephanie McKenzie of Exclamation Points, she connected me to like four other people that I'm still working for some of them to this day and getting, you know, thousands of dollars worth of work. And don't be afraid to do sometimes to do things for nothing at all, to help someone. It depends on where your heart is, too. If you're doing things because you're hoping this is going to get you somewhere versus I'm going to do this because this person needs me to do this, or I'm going to cut them a break. They're starting out, so I'm going to help them. You never know where that's going to take you. I don't know if that answered your question because it seemed like it went two different ways.
No, it's just great. And we have a really busy chat room, and I just am so grateful for everybody. They're really enjoying you, Hannah. I'm getting Deanna saying a really great message, Hannah, and Miss Pretty's throwing flowers at you, and Jay's clapping his hands. And just really, people are just loving what you have to say. So, you know, you've given us, I hope that people will recycle this great wisdom that you've given us today. And listen to the show again. I know I do. Sometimes the second and third time I get more out of it than the first time, you know. And you can download the show on iTunes. You can, you know, you have a friend. You gave the example. You helped out a friend. You know, maybe you're babysitting. Sometimes it doesn't take a lot of money. But you could send someone this message, you know, package Hannah up and throw, you know, give her to somebody else because you enjoyed, and then you can discuss that. But I love what you said about with the money, because I know times are tough for everybody financially, but look at that. You did the right thing for the right reason with the good motivation in your heart, and that woman to this day for $25 is still giving you thousands of dollars worth of business, and you weren't thinking about that at the time. You just liked her, and you were doing in your heart what you thought was the right thing to do.
Right. It's amazing how it all gives back. And, you know, if just a couple other quick things, be kind to each other. I mean, above all, be kind. Life is so rough on people, and you never know what someone's going through. A little kindness can go pretty far. You see somebody in the grocery store that's really harried as she's checking out her customers. Buy her one of those $3 bouquets of flowers and give it to her as you check out. Little things like that. You don't know how you can change people's lives just by being kind, and it doesn't take much. And the other thing, one of my life-changing things in the last few years was a quote I read, and it was an anonymous quote. It said, "Worry is the misuse of imagination." And it stopped me dead in my tracks. My son-in-law was heading off to Iraq for a second time, and I was having sleepless nights. And I read that, and I said, wow, look at what I'm doing. In order to worry, you have to use your imagination. You have to imagine what could happen. Not what will happen, what could happen. And I think God has blessed me with such a vivid imagination. Why am I wasting it on worry? So I've been rechanneling that imagination into my fiction and things like that, and it's much better use of it. And so that would be two pieces of advice, to be kind and not to worry.
Yeah, worry's the rocking chair that moves a lot but doesn't go anywhere syndrome.
Yes.
I hate that. Yeah. We've only got a minute left. Give everybody so that they can continue to share the joy that you have to give us, your website, emails, all that stuff.
My blog is thegreengrandma.blogspot.com, and my website is speechless.sitesvp.com, and you can find me on Facebook as Green Grandma. You can find me on Twitter as The Green Grandma, and I love to grow the community, so come along and post comments, and I would love to hear from you.
Well, thank you. We love you. You're in the best people we know club. All of us are, and you are definitely at the top of the list, Hannah. I can't thank you enough for being with us today. I think everybody joins me in thanking Hannah for really sharing from her heart gifts that we can all enjoy and unwrap on a regular basis. Thank you, Hannah, for being a blessing and continue to be blessed because you're awesome. We love you, Hannah.
Thank you. We love you, too. I love you, too.
All right, we'll have you back on. So, everybody, I want to thank you for being with the show today because if you weren't here and you weren't sharing the show with a friend, there would be no show to listen to. So spread the word. We all help each other. Be a blessing. Have a blessed day. Step into your greatness. Love who you are. And just share your one-of-a-kind shine. And we'll see you tomorrow on the Best People We Know radio show. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.